There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
Engage.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geeks 50 Days of Dragon Con Countdown, where countdowning happens starting at 50 and going to zero, which will commence in the commencement of Dragon Con. And as folks normally know, this is when I would introduce Lee, but she is still on vacation enjoying the sun on the Riviera. By Riviera, of course, I mean South Carolina. So, joining me tonight, though, is the one and only director for puppetry that there has ever been in the history of Dragon Con and possibly the history of the world, Bo Brown. Bo Brown, how are you doing today?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I am doing great. So, yes, we talked for about 2 seconds, that you are the only director that has ever existed for puppetry for Dragon Con. So this is your second year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To my knowledge, there are no other sort of geek culture conventions that have puppetry track either. So,
and from what I understand, given the success from last year, that might change. So you might be a trendsetter.
Well, I'm already a little bit of a trendsetter. You know, the whole reason that we have a puppetry track is because of the success of the Puppet Slam at Dragon Con, which was 3 years ago.
Right, right.
And since that year, there are now 3 other conventions that have Puppet Slams.
Well, before we get into your track, actually explain what a Puppet Slam is, because I know that I tried getting into it last year, and it was as if, I don't know, some new hip pop star people, whatever those young kids are listening to, was appearing in one of the rooms. You could not get in. So what is the puppetry slam? Puppet slam?
Well, the puppetry slam at Dragon Con, you know, is hosted by the Sci-Fi Janitors, who mm-hmm. are basically sort of the puppet mascots of Dragon Con.
Right.
Which I am a part of. I play Carl on the Sci-Fi Janitors, and I built the puppets.
Sweet.
And that was sort of like our puppet foot in the door of Dragon Con per se through Dragon Con TV. But a puppet slam is an evening, late night evening performance for adults of like a variety show of puppet performances, meaning that it's not one long show, but it's a bunch of little short shows all put together. So it's like a variety show or like a cabaret of puppetry for adults. And that's what a puppet slam is.
Yeah, and you did mention that, which, by the way, I didn't know until just now, that you play Carl of Bob and Carl, which,
yep.
How long ago was it? Did that start 3 years ago as well?
No, we started Bob and Carl 4 years ago.
Okay.
And then it's been this really sort of crazy chain of events where Bob and Carl got popular on Dragon Con TV,
mm-hmm.
which then gave us the sort of leverage to do the Puppet Slam. And then the Puppet Slam was like this crazy big success with like a line out the out the door down the street around the corner. Mm-hmm. We never expected that to happen. and then so sort of leveraging the success of the Puppet Slam, I talked to Pat Henry and said, hey, I'd really love to do more of this kind of thing. And so January after Dragon Con that year of the Slam, he gave me a call and said, would you be interested in directing the puppetry track? And I said, yeah. And here we are.
Sweet. So tell us a little bit about what actually the puppetry track covers. Obviously, it covers, there's a lot of puppets involved, but what are some of the regular track events that you'll have and discussions you'll have?
Okay, well, the puppetry track has 2 goals. The first is to celebrate puppetry and pop culture. So that means like puppetry that your average convention goer is familiar with. So that's Farscape, Star Wars, The Muppets, puppetry and pop culture, puppetry on TV and film. The second goal of the puppetry track, because I come from the puppet community, mm-hmm. Is to use the convention as a way to expose people to live puppet theater who wouldn't normally have that experience. Because pretty much, as far as we're concerned here in here in America, puppets are for kids on TV, and they're for kids at a puppet theater. If you go to a puppet show, you're taking a kid. Or there's Puppet Slam, which is still the sort of weird kind of thing that people don't really know about, that's puppets for adults. And then there's puppet theater for adults that exists in the world that nobody knows anything about. The idea is that I believe that all geeks are fans of puppetry. They just don't really know it. They're like, oh yeah, the Muppets or Star Wars or Yoda. There's all these puppets that are part of geek culture, but nobody ever thinks about puppetry sort of outside of that. So part of the goal of the track is to expose them to marionettes and expose them to glove puppetry. And so we have, a celebration of puppetry and pop culture and typical sort of panel, convention type panel things where we're talking about properties and things like that have puppets in them. But then also, glove puppetry 101. Come and learn how to do glove puppetry, on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is a good example of glove puppetry, mm-hmm. That people are familiar with. Come see what marionettes are like up close and touch one and use one, which is something that very few people are even remotely familiar with. So that's sort of what the puppetry track is all about, is being like geeking out over puppets that people have seen on TV, but also exposing people to the, in my opinion, the wonderful world of actual real live puppetry.
Cool. Now, because I was actually just on the phone with Kevin from MMO, and we were actually talking about Bob and Carl, and I was like, wow, I would like to get those guys. And hey, Carl's here. So let me ask you.
Yeah.
Let me ask you. You guys are still doing Dragon Con TV stuff, right, this year?
Yes. We submitted tonight's the deadline for DCTV, actually, and we are submitting our episodes tonight.
Oh, awesome. Because we were a little concerned. We're like, well, I hope that they're still around, because you guys have become a staple of DCTV, but also, this is kind of going off the puppetry track, but this is a pleasant surprise for me. How did Bob and Carl come about? And what was your history with puppetry before Bob and Carl?
My history with puppetry is pretty much Puppet Slam. Mm-hmm. But previous to that, I was very active in theater in high school, and I had the opportunity to do an internship through my school's gifted program. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, I live in Atlanta. What is a really cool place that I would like to do an internship? And one of the places that sort of came up as an option was the Center for Puppetry Arts. Excuse me.
Yeah, people forget that actually exists in Atlanta.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know about it. And actually, I work there now. That's my day job, is I work at the Center for Puppetry Arts.
Awesome.
And so I interned there in high school, my senior year in high school. I would leave during the last period of school and go work at the center, and that's where I learned to build puppets. That's where I learned my vocabulary of puppet theater. So pretty much I've been doing puppets since late high school.
Cool.
And then so I got out of college and I moved back to Atlanta. I went to college in Dallas and moved back to Atlanta, and there was a Puppet Slam scene. Puppet Slam had sort of started while I was in college and I didn't really know anything about it. And so I moved back to Atlanta, and there was a Puppet Slam at Dad's Garage Theater in Atlanta. The, may Dad's rest in peace. It actually just closed.
Well, did it close or did it move?
Well, the building is closed, and Dad's has moved on to Seven Stages. So Dad's is at Seven Stages for now.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that, because I actually roomed with one. I used to be a roommate with one of the founders, but go on.
Yeah. So Lucky Yates, who you may know who plays Krieger on Archer, mm-hmm. Was the host and producer of the Puppet Slam at Dad's Garage. And so I did my first Puppet Slam in 2002, and I was hooked. I was absolutely hooked. I loved it. And Puppet Slam is this sort of amazing thing where it gives you a deadline to just make a show, and it can be real thrown together. It doesn't matter what it is. It's for adults. Your audience, especially the one at Dad's Garage, which you know, was a midnight puppet show. So mm-hmm. you can imagine what the audience is like. The kind of people who come to see a puppet show at midnight are a unique breed of people. So you want to play to your audience. So I was writing these really crazy, wacky, filthy puppet shows. And I just loved it. So that's sort of how I got started in puppetry, and I sort of cut my teeth at Puppet Slam and never left. So now I run, since the Puppet Slam stopped at Dad's Garage, I then inherited another Puppet Slam in Atlanta that had started by a woman named Carolyn Mescalit, and called the Puck and Puppet Show. And she moved, don't say it too fast. She moved to France and said, hey, does anybody want to take over the slam? And I volunteered. And so now I run the Puck and Puppet Show, which is Atlanta's Puppet Slam here in Atlanta.
You obviously have a lot of practice saying that, because I'm thinking in my head, I'd screw it up every time.
Yeah, I have a lot of practice saying it. You can always shorten and just say the PF show. That helps.
So you started doing that and?
So I was doing the Puck and Puppet Show, and then I got together with a buddy of mine named Michael Goodwin, and some geeks out there may know Michael. He is a writer for White Wolf Games. He's one of the masterminds behind Exalted, one of the greatest role-playing games ever made. He's currently writing for Mummy, and he's my game master that I've been playing with for years and years and years. And so he's this brilliant writer, and I do these puppets, and we were hanging out one night, and I was like, man, why have we never written a puppet show together? And we said, let's do it. So we sat down and we poured some drinks and wrote a puppet show. And that puppet show was the first, what would become Bob and Carl. It was actually originally called Bob and Jim. And it was about two janitors working at Area 51. And one of the janitors was sort of like a veteran. He'd been there for a while. And the other one was sort of the newbie. It was his first day on the job. And we did it live at Dad's, and we thought it was really good. We thought it would be good enough to film for DragonCon TV. And so we got in touch with Patrick Freeman, who was one of the founders of DragonCon TV, and he agreed to film it for us. And Matt Nitschke is Bob. And Matt Nitschke works at the Atlanta Shakespeare Tavern and is a phenomenal actor. And I've known him since I went to college with him. I've known him since high school. So a lot of that sort of repartee that you see between Bob and Carl is because that Matt and I have known each other forever. Oh. So we play off each other extremely well. And we filmed it, and Patrick just sort of left the camera on, and we just kept goofing off and making stuff up. And that became like the first 12 episodes of the Sci-Fi Janitors, which ended up sort of being on DragonCon TV. And then it sort of was this runaway sort of thing, you know. And then we just were like, wow, people actually like this. We should keep doing it. And that's how that all happened.
Wow. That's cool. Yeah, and because it has become a staple, and everyone does look forward to making sure they get every episode, they get to be able to see every episode of Bob and Carl, for the last several years, under their belt, I guess.
We've been a little slack this year. I had a baby. Matt's been super crazy busy with work at the tavern. You know, he's such a phenomenal actor that they cast him in everything. And so his schedule there is hard to work around. And then Patrick's busy with all sorts of doing a lot of podcasts and things like that. So it's been a little harder for the three of us to get together and do it this year, but rest assured there will be Sci-Fi Janitors at DragonCon.
Sweet. Cause someone has to clean it all up.
That's right. Somebody's got to.
So back to the puppetry track. Now, first of all, where are you guys located? What hotel in what area of that hotel are you in?
Well, we are wonderfully centrally located in the Marriott, the Heart of the Dragon, in room A704, which is a bigger room than we had last year. So a lot of the problems that we had with our room only seating 100 people and having really popular events, we have a much bigger room that seats about 260 this year. So some of our performances that we had last year that were in our track room that were just standing room only, I think we'll be able to accommodate the larger groups this year a little better.
Cool. And then we spoke with Kaleidoscope, and you're actually kind of by Kaleidoscope and Star Wars as well, right? I believe is right there.
I'm not sure where the other tracks are located, but yeah, it's that area sort of when you take the bridge, mm-hmm. between the Marriott, not the Sky Bridge, but the other way, mm-hmm. that you can sort of go from the from not the direct Sky Bridge, but the one that goes through the food court.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come from the Hyatt and you go through the food court and it dumps you out in that area that then leads to, like, where they do the blood drive.
Exactly. Yes.
It's near that area.
Now, yeah, so that's right over by where Kaleidoscope is this year as well. And I know that
Great. Sort of that
thinking there, my understanding, is that, you know, some of the younger programming, of course, you got to make sure that you cut it off at some point. But some of the younger programming there will puppetry, at least, will appeal to the kids and their family and the families too. So
yeah, and there's some cross programming between us and Kaleidoscope. One of my guests, Paul McGinnis, is going to be on a Kaleidoscope track because he's been puppeteer on Crash and Bernstein, which is a show on Nickelodeon, and there's a couple of other things that we sort of coordinate with, the puppet making workshop where kids can make a puppet. You know, we coordinate with Kaleidoscope, and obviously, so
cool.
We like to share, and then we're sharing with the video game track this year because the amazing Karen Prell not only played Red Fraggle on Fraggle Rock, but also animated Wheatley on Portal. So she's, you know, amazing, and so we're sharing her with the video game track this year.
So, being that you work at the what is the actual title there again? There's a museum
Center
there.
Center for Puppetry Arts.
Okay, Center for Puppetry Arts. Have you gotten to meet many other puppeteers outside of Dragon Con, or has it been pretty much Dragon Con's been now starting to bring them in?
No. I'm extremely active in the puppet community. I have, and the puppet community is kind of small, so there's only like 2 degrees of separation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of once you're active in the puppet community on sort of like a national scale, you know, you start to be friends with the Muppets and you start to be friends with people on Sesame Street and, you know, you all kind of get to know each other, you know. So, I mean, I knew Leslie, who plays Abby Cadabby on Sesame Street, who was one of our guests last year. I knew her before Dragon Con. And so that's how I was able to get her, was I was like, hey, Leslie, you should come and do Dragon Con. We have this crazy new puppetry track and all that kind of stuff. So,
Go ahead.
As puppeteers, we have our own festivals. We have Puppeteers of America Festival, which is actually, I leave for that on Sunday in Pennsylvania. And so we as a group, you know, as puppeteers, we get together a lot and do things and train because, you know, it's not like you can go to school for what we do. So there's a lot of special things that we do as puppeteers to get together and share information and train and take workshops and things that just isn't available elsewhere.
Cool. So, yeah, because, I mean, I guess there wasn't much of a call for any Sesame Street puppeteers, until there was a track for it, right? I mean, there wasn't really any place for them to go in Dragon Con.
No, I mean, you could have, until the puppetry track, no.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have made an argument for Kaleidoscope, but without having somebody, me having known Leslie made it possible for that to happen.
Right.
And, you know, if Dragon Con had cold called Sesame Street, I don't really think anything would have happened, but because Leslie, you know, did me a favor by coming, and then I know other people in the puppet community that I was able to contact and say, hey, you know, I'm interested in having, you know, Peter Lins, you know, who played Walter in the new Muppet movie, who was our guest last year.
Mm-hmm.
He was from Atlanta. He had worked at the center. So there were contacts that I had that I was able to approach him with rather than just cold calling people. It's you know, it's very different to, because the puppetry community is so small and we're sort of tight.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a couple of calls and be introduced by somebody who knows within 1 degree. You can know somebody who knows somebody and say, oh, okay, yeah, if so and so says that, you know, you can, that it's cool to talk to you, then that's fine. There's, you know, I there's not a lot of cold calling people without, you know, at least having somebody to vouch for me or say. And the beautiful thing about having Leslie and Peter last year was that they went and back and you know, they went back to Sesame Street and they went back to the Muppets and said, wow, we went to Dragon Con last year. It was awesome. You guys should go. So I actually started getting calls from other people saying, hey, I heard from Leslie that Dragon Con's really cool if you're looking for people. Because we decided to do the big Fraggles thing this year, I decided to stick with the Fraggles, but I actually had some other people from Sesame Street contact me saying that they wanted to come this year. So I think maybe that's what we'll do next year. Maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll do another big Sesame year.
Cool. That sounds great. Now, what are some, I think we talked a little bit about this, but what are some of the actual panels that you'll have? And obviously the Puppetry Slam is the big event. When is that?
Yeah, that's the cherry on top.
What day is that tentatively scheduled for? Because, of course, you never know.
Everything is tentative right now. But the Puppet Slam is scheduled for Sunday night at midnight.
Wow.
It's our big to-do. And it takes a lot to put that show together really quickly, because it's a lot of technical stuff to figure out really, really quick. Because, you know, we only get into the space, you know, after the last thing that happened, and every piece has different technical requirements. So for those of you who are in line, and when we start late, please understand it's because we're trying to do like figure out a million things that all have to be figured out before we can let you guys in and put on that amazing show for you. So please bear with us. And, you know, and we know how long the line is, and we know how early people get in line for it. So I always make an effort to send other puppeteers out to the line to entertain the line. Mm-hmm. We've done that every year that we've done the slam. So we hope that we can try to make that experience at least a little more palatable than just standing in the line. Like at least we're making the effort to go out there and entertain you while you're standing in line.
So where is the Puppetry Slam, what ballroom is it going to be in this year, tentatively?
The slam, I'm pretty sure will be in the same Hyatt ballrooms, which I think is like 5 and 6 that it was last year, but it's where it was last year.
Okay.
Yeah, cool.
Tentatively. So you mentioned that you have some panels for building puppets and things like that. What other events do you have going on?
Well, for building puppets, we have Foam Patterning for Puppets by Kathleen David, wife of the illustrious author Peter David, okay, and Liz Vital, who's a local Atlanta puppeteer. And so that can teach you how, like, the understructure, how to pattern the foam understructure of puppets. And then that's building workshops are kind of tricky to do at DragonCon in the convention setting because they require a lot of materials that we just don't have the resources. You know, like, if you want to take a puppet making workshop, that's like a 3-hour workshop. Mm-hmm. It's a lot to learn, and there's a lot of stuff involved. You know, because you need like things like bandsaws and belt sanders and all those things that just aren't going to happen at a convention.
It's
hard to do the building workshops. You know, so when we go to our puppet festivals and things, and then there's other special conferences that we go to that are very intense, and you take like the same class for a week. And you build up, you know, you work on building stuff. But it takes like literally a week of the same workshop to build something. You can't crank out a puppet, really. That just doesn't sort of happen. The Creative Puppet Workshop that we do is for kids, and it's a kit that has paper, and you glue the paper together and all that stuff. This year we're doing a dragon for DragonCon, a little dragon puppet, so the kids can come and build a little working mouth. It's just the head of the puppet, but it's a little working mouth. Dragon puppet. So we're excited about that for the kids to have a little dragon puppets to run around with. But then let's see, that's it for really building. There's another one called Puppets on a Budget that Kathleen and Liz are doing. That's about, you know, how to build puppets out of stuff you can buy at Hancock's or Joann's and Michael's and stuff, which is something that's more accessible than building like Muppet style puppets, which take materials that you just can't buy at the store. Those are specialty materials that you have to buy from specialty stores. But then we have lots more performances than we had last year. Last year we had one kid show, and this year we have a kid show every day.
Nice.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there are kid shows. So we're excited. We're very excited about that. And we're also I'm very excited, that the Puppetry Track will be celebrating, along with the rest of DragonCon, the Puppetry Track will be celebrating the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who, with the Timey Wimey Puppet Show, which is a puppet show about Doctor Who, starring the 10th Doctor, or starring the 11th Doctor and the First Doctor, that's done by a puppet buddy of mine named Mike Horner, and it's a web series just like Bob and Carl, but with much prettier puppets than Bob and Carl, and it's absolutely fantastic. If you love Doctor Who, I cannot recommend this show more. It is so good. And so when Mike started doing it, I said, oh my God, Mike, you have to come to DragonCon. It's the 50th anniversary of DragonCon. We have a puppetry track. You have a Doctor Who puppet show. You have to come. So he'll be doing the very first, it's been a web series, but he's doing a full-length 45-minute timey-wimey puppet show, Doctor Who puppet show, on Friday at 5:30. So kids, adults, it's amazing. If you love Doctor Who and you remotely like puppets, I cannot recommend this show to you more. It's one of my favorite things in the programming. Please come see it.
Is it still in your track room or is it in a larger room?
It will be in the track room.
Okay.
So 250 people, you know, 250 people are going to be able to get in to see it. And it's a glove. It's a little glove puppet show. So it's small. Mm-hmm. So it's like watching Bob and Carl live, which is, you know, tiny. So there's that. So you could do it in a big room, but you'd have to live video it and all that kind of stuff. So, and we might be able to work out to do a live projection of it. Then the other thing that we have new this year is ventriloquism.
Ooh.
Which we had none of last year. And some people are weird about ventriloquism. There's this sort of relationship, like, I have always likened it to the relationship between mimes and clowns. It's like the relationship between, you know, ventriloquists and puppeteers. It's like a blood feud. but that's not true. I think ventriloquism is great. It's just as an important part of puppetry, even though many people, and rightfully so, will say that it actually shares more with stand-up comedy than it does with puppetry.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that you're doing an act and not telling a story, which is more sort of how puppets are usually used, is to tell a story, whereas ventriloquism is an act. But I'm really excited because I brought in Carla Rhodes, the rock and roll ventriloquist, who I've previously worked with at the National Puppet Slam, and she's amazing. She's absolutely hilarious. She has this puppet named Cecil Sinclair, who's her ventriloquist dummy, and the whole shtick behind Cecil is that he's been locked in a trunk since, like, 1920, and this is an adult show, by the way. Carla's show is a late night adult ventriloquist show that is pretty amazing and hilarious. And he's been locked in a trunk since 1920, so he, you know, women's lib and civil rights, those are new concepts to him. So if you want to come see a really bawdy ventriloquist show from Carla, it's incredibly funny, and I'm really excited to have her. And then she'll also be teaching a ventriloquism panel about the history of ventriloquism and focusing on the history of ventriloquism and also Sherry Lewis and Lamb Chop, who she was trained by. She knew Sherry Lewis as a kid and was like a pen pal with her and was mentored by Sherry. And so there will actually be a little something special. If you're interested in remotely in Lamb Chop and things like that, there will be something a little very special in that panel that I'm not going to give away. But if you like ventriloquism and you liked Lamb Chop and Sherry Lewis when you were a kid, please go to the ventriloquism panel at 8:30 on Friday and you're in for a treat. A real big treat.
Nice. Now, you did mention there is adult programming, correct?
Yes. Puppetry. After 10 o'clock, things get a little adult in the puppetry track.
Okay, so 10 o'clock is where you're putting that high watermark then, or low watermark, mm-hmm. depending on your perspective, I suppose. Do you also discuss things along the lines of like Avenue Q and those kind of
have a panel called the State of Puppetry Roundtable,
mm-hmm.
which is Friday at 10, and that's going to talk about Avenue Q, puppets on Broadway, the Shrek musical, Walking with Dinosaurs arena show, the How to Train Your Dragon arena show, the crazy big King Kong show that's coming out of the big King Kong musical that's coming out of Australia right now that is unbelievably amazing looking. It's by the same guys who did the Walking with Dinosaurs show and How to Train Your Dragon, and it's insane. It's absolutely insane looking. So it's sort of talking about where we are with puppetry in the modern world. Talk about Warhorse, the CG versus practical effects, now they're talking about, it's the new Star Wars movies that they realize that, episode 1 through 3 that, nobody wants big CG backgrounds. Nobody wants a bunch of CG characters. That's Star Wars lost its charm when you made everything, when everything was on a green screen.
Mm-hmm.
It'll talk about the new Wizard of Oz movie, Oz the Great and Powerful, where Philip Huber, who's the guy that taught me how to do marionettes, did motion capture for the China Girl with a marionette so that when the actors were acting opposite of the China Girl, they were actually acting opposite of a tiny little girl and not a tennis ball on a stick on a green screen. So there's been a backlash against, two, 3 years ago, everyone was like, oh my God, CG is killing puppetry. Puppetry is going to die. And now we're actually seeing a resurgence back to practical effects where people are over it. You know, I mean, if you take a look at even Pacific Rim, almost all the stuff that was shot with the humans, all that was real backgrounds. There was none of that stuff in Star Wars where everything was like, you know, CG past 2 feet. You know, the robots and the monsters obviously were all CG, but whenever the humans were interacting with objects and things like that, all that stuff was real. And it was all practical effects. So that's what that, and it's going to be a discussion with, you know, the members of the track, like the, all the attending professionals and the guests that want to be on it. That's who's going to be on that. Cause I have a lot of really amazing attending professionals in my track. That's actually one of the amazing things about my track is my attending professionals are amazing.
Cool. So, last year was your first year. What worked well for you guys, and what did you, you know, go back to the drawing board and say, okay, we're going to have to kind of rework this because it didn't quite work the way that we thought it would?
Great question. Last year, I walked away thinking that the track was very academic. Because my only, you know, frame of reference was, because honestly, I've been going to Dragon Con for 17. This will be my 17th year of Dragon Con straight.
Wow.
I am Dragon Con born and raised. But I never went to a lot of panels. I was always more, I sold comics at my comic book booth for like my mom and pop comic store. That was my, you know, day. So I never went to panels because I was always in the booth all day. Mm-hmm. And then I was big into the costuming scene back in the day. I'm retired now. But back in the day, I was really big into the costuming scene. So like my Dragon Con schedule was sell comic books all day, get into costume, go do all the costume stuff at night, get drunk and hang out in the gaming room until 3 o'clock in the morning, rinse, wash, and repeat. So I didn't have a lot of frame of reference for what Dragon Con panels were like. I went to like one Farscape panel in like the 16 years I was going to Dragon Con. So my frame of reference was puppet festivals and the kinds of classes that I was taking there. And I sort of felt after the convention last year, I just felt like there was an element of just like zaniness and like fun that was sort of missing. Like everything was real, like, we're going to teach you a whole lot of stuff about puppets and we're going to talk about puppets in a very serious way. And I was like, puppets should be more fun. You know, that's what I thought was missing. Not that the things that we did last year didn't work. I mean, obviously they worked. They were amazing. I mean, almost all of our panels were standing room only. The Marionette Cabaret, who would have thought that would have been like standing room only? And it was three puppeteers coming out and doing cabaret style marionettes, or when one puppeteer comes out on stage, visible, not hiding behind anything, and does a marionette on the floor, one puppet on the floor, and does an act. That show was just amazingly packed full of people. I mean, people were literally like climbing on top of each other to see it because, you know, marionettes are on the floor. Mm-hmm. So they're hard to see. And that was one of our problems, was that no one could see that show. Even though the room was, I mean, part of the reason it was hard to see was there were so many people in the room. But so this year there's going to be more of a sense of fun. So in that idea, we have something called the Magic Puppet Tea Party. Now, this is either one of the best ideas I've ever had or one of the worst ideas I've ever had. It waits to be seen. But several people came to Dragon Con last year with puppets because of the puppetry track. There was a woman who made her own Fraggle puppet and a guy who made a Cylon puppet. And I wanted to do something special for the people who are starting to bring puppets like wearing a costume. There are people who are like making puppets and bringing them to Dragon Con, which I think is so amazing. And I want to support that. So the Magic Puppet Tea Party is a social mixer only for people who brought puppets to Dragon Con. You cannot get in the door without a puppet. And when you go in, it's a party just for you with other people, like part of the people who are a part of the puppetry track with their puppets. So it's like, if you want to go hang out, if you want your puppet to go hang out with other puppets, this is the place to do that. No humans allowed, only puppets. So yeah, it's either, and there'll be like fake tea parties. There'll be like plastic teacups. And I have a beautiful host. Stacey Gordon is one of my attending professionals, and she's in charge of the Magic Puppet Tea Party, and she's wearing her fanciest dress and her fanciest hat, and she will have her puppet there. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that turns out. And I'm very excited. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Nice. It actually sounds pretty cool. So you had a fair amount of people that did bring puppets, right? Because, I mean, the one thing that would make that not work is that if everyone said, eh, never mind, I'm not bringing my puppet this year. It's like, there's three of us in here.
Well, honestly, what will make it not work is people hearing about it and, like, you know, taking off their sock and putting it on their hand and being like, and having attitude about it just because they want to get in.
Right.
And being like, what, I got a puppet, let me in. Yeah. You know, that's what will make that not work, is people not embracing the spirit of it and trying to, like, crash it.
Right.
That's what will make it not work.
Yeah.
If it, you know, I do believe that people will bring their own puppets because they did last year. And I think that I want, and the goal is to do something special for those people, because that means a lot to me that people are bringing their own puppets to Dragon Con because there's a puppetry track.
You know,
I want to do something special for them. So if people try to ruin that for them, that's what I think will be bad.
Well,
anybody who's listening, please, you know, just like, if you have your own puppet, this is for you. And if not, you know what, this panel, this event isn't for you, and leave it alone.
Right. You know? And you know, I mentioned earlier, is that I got off the phone with Kevin from MMO, and they're doing something sort of similar in the sense that for their Villains Ball, if you're in costume, there's a whole different line for you to go through. So because it was backed up like it was much like the puppetry slam, but there's going to be like a red carpet and everything.
Yeah,
you want those people to get in.
For people who go the extra mile.
Right, exactly.
But you don't want other people to, you know, be like, yeah, what, will you let me in? You know, who's going to come and ruin it? So.
Okay. Well, that's, yeah, and I agree with you. It's actually pretty cool. And he said kind of the same thing, too, that a guy with some blood on his shirt saying he's a zombie isn't a zombie. So you'll have to go wait in line. And so along the same lines, probably not only do you have to have just, you know, not just bring your puppet, but bring the spirit of the puppet with you, not something that,
exactly.
You know, you found in your kid's closet and you're bringing it with you. So this, I know track directors are really busy, obviously, but if you get away this year to see anything in particular that's not in your track, what would you try to get away to see?
I'm a pretty big Doctor Who fan. Seeing the footage of Sylvester McCoy read the Pandorica speech last year was pretty nuts. I kind of wish I'd seen that. I didn't get to see anything last year. I had about 3 hours a night between the hours of like midnight and 3 o'clock in the morning where I could like go to the gaming room and get in a game of Flux, you know, and like do the things that to me make Dragon Con feel like Dragon Con. And the days were just insane. Like, I've never worked so hard in my life. I love Dragon Con. It's my favorite place in the entire world. And my decision to basically give up my Dragon Con to bring puppetry to Dragon Con was a really hard choice to make. Like, I was really, after as much work as it was last year and as crazy as I was, like, actually there, I was really on the fence about whether I wanted to do it again this year. And I, in the end, I decided that it's worth it. And that what we're doing with the track is, I think, A, important for Dragon Con, important for conventions, and extremely important for puppetry. So to me, that makes it worth it. But man, it is so much work. Yeah, it's really hard.
And one of the reasons why I started this podcast several years ago was because I do see all the track directors that bust their butt every year to bring a show, the whole Dragon Con experience to life. And a lot of times people miss that, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into, behind the scenes.
Just the amount of organization and like, you know, figuring out how to schedule everything and, you know, there are sweet spots in the schedule and bad parts of the schedule. And you have to be like, oh man, I love you, but I just don't have, I got to put you in the crappy slot. Sorry. Cause, you know, who wants to go to a panel at, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning on Monday,
nobody.
You know, but that's the schedule, you know. Actually, I don't have anything scheduled for 10 on Monday this year. I was like, no. I'm not doing that to anybody.
Yours is after that. It's even worse for you because you guys had the puppetry slam the night before.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's, you know, we're all up till 3 o'clock in the morning just doing the slam, like not even just up partying. We've been working, you know, so that's really hard. But I actually am on a panel. Because that's the other thing, too, is that as a director, I'm kind of a ghost. Like, even though, you know, I'm Carl and we are doing a Bob and Carl panel this year, you know, I could do so much. Like, I could be on panels and be, because most of the professionals that I bring in, my attending professionals, mm-hmm. are like my peers. Mm-hmm. They're people who are professional puppeteers from their own city that do their own thing. And like Mike has his own web show. He works for Paul Messner Puppets out in Kansas City, and I work at the center. And so I have all these contemporaries all over the country at all the other puppet theaters across the country. And those are the people that I bring in to be my professionals. Obviously, my guests are people from TV and film. So, and they're the people who are really the workhorse, my pros are really the workhorses of the track. Mm-hmm. They're the ones teaching Marionettes 101. They're the ones teaching Glove Puppetry 101. You know, they're the ones running the Magic Puppet Tea Party and all that kind of stuff. So I don't have, and as a director, I'm so busy putting out fires and running around making sure that everything's okay that I can't, you know, I'm on the Sci-Fi Janitors panel and that's it, you know. However, I am actually on another panel. I'm on the Masters of the Universe toy panel at 5:30 on Sunday. So if you want to come see me for like the brief moment where I've taken my director's hat on and you're remotely interested in He-Man toys, because that's one of my other big, huge geek outs is I'm a giant He-Man fan. If you want to see me act normal for an hour, come see me.
Act normal talking about He-Man.
Classics panel on Sunday at 5:30, where I will be so excited to not talk about puppetry for an hour and talk about He-Man toys.
Now let me ask you, because that's interesting. Why He-Man of all things?
It's my thing, you know. You know, I'm married with a kid, so mm-hmm. you have to sort of limit your expenditures on geek stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's a line of He-Man figures that's a subscription line, which means you pay for it ahead of time, and I get He-Man figures in the mail every month. And wow. I love it. It is like my one thing that makes everything, no matter how bad of a day I've had, if I come home and there's a He-Man figure in the mail, everything's okay. And I collect these figures, and they're beautifully done by amazing sculptors who grew up loving He-Man. So, like, they're second-generation He-Man fans who are putting all of their nostalgia into the toys, which just results in this amazing, just these beautiful, amazing figures. And so I'm the co-host of another podcast called The Needless Things Podcast with Phantom Troublemaker, and sort of my area of expertise is Doctor Who and He-Man toys. So... so he's on that panel, and he asked me to be on it. And thankfully, it actually fell in a time in the schedule during the puppetry track that I could get away, which I'm extremely thankful for. So,
well, since you mentioned it, where can people find that podcast?
The Needless Things podcast. You can go to the Needless Things. Let's see, what is it?
And while you're looking it up, let me ask this other question too. So since you're a He-Man fan, what'd you first of all think of the movie, we'll call it that.
The movie
and
the 87 movie.
And the reboot of He-Man from a few years ago.
Well, the He-Man movie has things to like. Mm-hmm. It's interesting if you look at the movie and you replace He-Man with Darkseid, and that's an idea that's been thrown around a lot, is that it's actually a New God story that. Is sort of that got sort of twisted around to be He-Man. There's a lot there's a lot that's just awful, you know. And as a He-Man fan, you know, I've looked into, you know, been, you know, researched a lot of that stuff, and it's one of those movies that was just had the budget cut out of it. And when you look at like a lot of the old production art for that, that movie was going to be amazing. And then they just slashed it and slashed it and slashed it and mm-hmm. slashed it. And as soon as you start doing that, everything starts happening on Earth, because Earth is already there, and you don't have to build sets, and you don't have to build matte paintings, and you don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a certain element of nostalgia for the movie because I saw it when I was a kid, but it's not good. you know,
it's now, a movie. However,
yeah. Yeah. Now, the 2000, what we in the He-Man community call the 2000X series, is amazing. I love the cartoon reboot. I love mm-hmm. everything about it. It's awesome. It kicks so much ass. I watch it all the time still, and I love everything about it. It's great, and I wish it had gotten a fourth season, because the stuff that was going to happen in the fourth season was awesome. I love everything about that show. I recommend it to anyone who even remotely likes He-Man or... ever played Exalted, because it's basically like Exalted, the cartoon show.
Oh, interesting. I mean, I watched...
The blog,
I watched...
The blog is called needlessthingssite.com, and that's the blog which also has the podcast on it.
Needless Things Site. Is it things or thing?
Two S's, so needlessthingssite.com.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, because I watched... I probably watched about half of the first season. I just picked it up.
Oh, man, watch the rest. It's awesome.
Yeah,
like, it's fantastic. And you can buy it on Amazon. You can buy the entire series on Amazon for, like, less than $10. It's crazy cheap. So there's no reason not to watch it.
It's still...
It was on Netflix for a while, too.
Yeah, that's where it was. I'm not sure if it dropped off my queue or not, because for some reason... I was watching it, I haven't seen it in a while, and I kind of, you know, I'm sure you've been down this road before. You're just going through Netflix. That's still on my queue. I didn't know that was still on my queue. And then you start watching it.
I can't recommend it enough. It's totally awesome.
Cool. All right, because I was curious, because it was certainly different than how I recall the classic television show.
What it was basically, you know, it's sort of like The Figures in the sense that the people who are making it grew up with He-Man, and they were like, all right, let's take what we liked from He-Man and get rid of the crap that we didn't like and change it. So, like, Cringer doesn't talk. Mm-hmm. You know, Prince Adam doesn't look exactly like He-Man. He's way more like Captain Marvel.
Right.
You know, where it's not, you know, and he doesn't wear lavender tights, and it's not all, you know, super homoerotic. You know, not, there's anything wrong with that. And you know, I know plenty of guys who love their He-Man for that exact reason, but, you know, but it's, they just sort of, they cherry picked what was awesome about He-Man and just made it awesomer, you know, and even the opening titles is a testament to that. It like starts exactly like the original Filmation titles and then just explodes into awesomeness and was a treat. It was an absolute treat.
Cool. So, needlessthingssite.com. Okay. Mm-hmm. .com. And
where I'm the co-host of the Needless Things podcast with Phantom Troublemaker.
Sweet. And of course it's probably also on iTunes too. You can probably find it there or some other pod listing thingy. So let me ask the traditional final question here.
I can talk about one more thing before we get to the final question.
Certainly.
Okay, and that is our big thing this year for the Puppetry Track is the Fraggle Rock 30th anniversary.
Oh, yeah. Well, how do we go this far without mentioning? Well, I mean, we mentioned a little bit.
I had to make sure we mentioned it, but I am crazy excited about this. Literally, this has taken me since January to put together. I've been working on this deal to get... Because one of the things that we lacked last year was we had these amazing guests. We had Peter Lenz, who was Walter on the Muppet movie, you know, and who grew up loving the Muppets and then became an actual Muppeteer. And then we had Leslie from Sesame Street. Abby Cadabby is a mega star on Sesame Street. You know, she's huge. And then we had Heather Henson, you know, the daughter of Jim Henson. I mean, that was we had amazing guests last year, but we didn't have any puppets. And that's the thing about puppet guests is it's one thing to have the puppeteer, but to really make the package complete, you have to have the puppet. Mm-hmm. And so I have worked, I really hope everybody appreciates how hard this was to put together, mm-hmm. but we successfully booked Red Fraggle and Moki Fraggle from Fraggle Rock, which is just nuts. And I am so unbelievably excited to actually have the total package of the puppeteer and the puppet. And so Saturday is our big Fraggle Rock day. That's when all of the Fraggle Rock programming is going down. So at 2:30 on Saturday, it starts with the parade.
Oh,
Moki
really?
And Red Fraggle will be in the parade.
Oh, that's awesome.
The puppets will be in the parade, and I am just beyond thrilled about this. So everyone, not even just the people who come to Dragon Con, but the people who come to see the parade on the street are going to see Moki and Red Fraggle, and I'm just beyond thrilled. After that, at 2:30, is the Down in Fraggle Rock panel, which will be the panel with the puppets and the puppeteers. So if you want to ask Red a question, Red will answer your question. If you want to ask Karen Prell a question, who's Red's puppeteer, Karen will answer the question. So that will be Catherine Mullen and Moki, Karen Prell and Red, and then Michael Frith. And Michael Frith is the designer and co-creator of Fraggle Rock. Everything that you saw on that show came out of his head. Pretty much.
Wow.
And he's also one of the original team from The Muppet Show from the very beginning. He designed Swedish Chef. He designed Dr. Teeth. Everybody only knows Jim and Frank.
Right.
But there were all these other people who were part of that original Muppet Show crew that were hugely influential on the show, and nobody knows anything about them.
Mm-hmm.
So I am so unbelievably thrilled to have Michael Frith be a part of the track. Michael is doing sketches, FYI.
Oh,
and
great.
Here's the guy who created a lot of these original characters. So if you want to get in on some of that action, get into what is after that. So directly after that, at 4 o'clock, is the Fraggles meet and greet. And that will be your opportunity to get sketches from Michael and pose for pictures with Red and Moki.
Okay, that's great to know. Now, will that panel be in your track room, or will it be in one of the...
That will not be in our track room. There is no way that that could happen in our track room. So that will be in the Hyatt, in one of the ballrooms in the Hyatt. And I'm not sure which one, but it'll be in the schedule. So, and then also, as a little treat, I'm just going to, put this out there. If you want to get in line for the Fraggle meet and greet early, there's a little something special for the first, I'm not going to say an exact number, but there will be something special for the people who show up early for the Fraggles meet and greet that you will get.
And where's the Fraggles meet and greet at?
It'll be in the Hyatt. It'll be like next door to the Fraggle Rock panel.
Okay. All right.
So the Fraggle Rock panel will end, and then they're going to move to another room, and then people will get in line for that, and then that will start. And that will be where the special thing will be given out to the certain number of people who get in line first, and is your chance for photos and stuff. Now, the problem with puppet guests...
Yeah.
Is they can't pose for pictures and do autographs at the same time because they have puppets on their hands. So there will be a separate autograph session for Karen and Catherine that will happen in the autograph area. So you can get Michael to sign things during the Fraggle meet and greet, but not Karen and Catherine. So if you want to bring your Fraggles merchandise to get signed, if you wanted to get signed by Michael, you can take it to the meet and greet. But if you want it signed by, the puppeteers for Red and Moki, you have to go to the autograph session.
Because I do have to ask this. Now, the meet and greet for photos or anything, is there a cost for that, or is that just bring your
phone? No, there's no cost. Yeah,
and take a picture. Okay, cool. Yep. So people also might have to make a Sophie's choice, if you will, between going to the panel or getting in line, because that's what you have to do at Dragon Con, and that's the choices you have to make. So, and I assume there's a time limit on that too, as well. So,
The meet and greet's between 4 and 5.
Okay. So, however many people can get through in an hour is how many people get through in an hour, and that's it. So,
but at least we're doing the autograph session separate. Now they can't have the puppets for that.
Right.
Obviously. Cause they can't do both, which is just one of the technical problems of having puppet guests is, if they had three arms, sure, but they don't. So, and oftentimes you puppeteer with your dominant hand, which is the hand you write with. So you can't have the puppet and obviously you can't like take the puppet off and have the puppet go dead, and then sign something and then put the puppet back on and have to be alive again for pictures. That's awful. Yeah. So we'd never ask them to do that. But this is all done because of like incredible special arrangements with Henson, that I have to give a special shout out to Rachel Reeves, the guest director of Dragon Con, who has worked just tirelessly and done an incredible amount of work to make this Fraggles stuff happen this year.
Rachel is awesome.
She's
isn't
amazing.
She?
And a big shout out also to Nicole Goldman over at Henson for, letting us do all this stuff and helping us make all the arrangements. This is unprecedented. No convention has ever done anything like this. So I'm super excited, and I'm so proud to have helped put all this together.
Yeah, and getting hold of Henson Originals is a feat in itself.
Yeah.
Much less having the puppeteer there as well. So cool. That is very cool. In fact, as you were saying that, I got physically excited. Well, wait, that sounds rude. Wait a minute.
maybe you could have phrased that a little different.
Emotionally excited. Yes, that's much better phrasing.
Yeah.
Wow. Awkward. I did. I got really excited because I was like, wow, this is something that is a, like a once in a lifetime event.
Yeah, it really is. And the only reason this is happening is because it's the 30th anniversary of Fraggle Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if this was any other year, I don't think, I mean, not that Henson wanted to play ball, mm-hmm. but I think that because it's just serendipity that this year is the 30th anniversary, that Henson was willing to go the extra mile to help promote, and get the puppets out here and all that stuff. But then speaking of Michael, Catherine, and Karen, they will have all of their Fraggle stuff on Saturday, but mm-hmm. each of them has their own panel that's just for them as well. So Michael will talk about all of the other amazing things that he's done. They weren't just on the Fraggles. Like each of these three guests has done just an insane amount of other work. To put that in perspective for you, Karen, who was Red, was also an animator on Toy Story 2. And, like I mentioned earlier, worked on Portal and animated Wheatley. So she's going to talk all about like the transition from being a puppeteer to being an animator and how how she took her puppeteer background and brought that into computer animation. And then she's also worked on a whole bunch of other games. And then Karen also, they also all worked on a bunch of other awesome stuff. So Karen was in Labyrinth. She puppeteered the worm. Do you remember the worm that Sarah meets when she first enters the Labyrinth?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, you don't want to go that way. Yeah, that was her. She didn't do the voice, but she did the puppetry. And then the old woman who has all the junk on her back,
mm-hmm.
she puppeteered that as well. So she's going to talk about what it was like to work on Labyrinth. Catherine Mullen, you may have heard of a movie called The Dark Crystal.
Never heard of it. I'm talking about.
Never heard of it, right? Okay, so well, if, for those of you who haven't heard of it, it's a pretty awesome movie. And she played Kira, the lead female Gelfling.
Oh yes,
on the Dark Crystal. So it's, I mean, she's not. So it's like, it's amazing. Like they are the best guests ever. Like they have done so many amazing cool things. So she'll talk all about the Dark Crystal and working on that. And then not only that, but she worked on Empire Strikes Back. And she was the secondary puppeteer. And so when we say secondary puppeteer, that means that every puppet has a lead puppeteer.
Mm-hmm.
And that person generally works the head and the dominant hand. And then you have a second puppeteer who works the other hand. So you know that scene in Empire Strikes Back where Yoda lifts the TIE fighter out of the swamp?
Mm-hmm.
That's Catherine Mullen's hand lifting the TIE fighter out of the swamp. She was the second puppeteer on Yoda.
Wow.
Yeah. So, guests are amazing.
You know, talking to you, you've put me down memory lane here, and now I'm realizing how much puppetry has been in my life from from the media I consumed as a growing up as a kid, and even to the extent that my kids growing up have. This puppetry is actually part of it. I think you kind of alluded at the very beginning. It's almost sort of like a background thing. But when you start to think about it, that for all these years, you've kind of thought of these people, these creatures, these puppets as being real or what have you. And you're right. At some point we lose something with CGI. CGI has its place, obviously, but we lose something with CGI that puppetry is some magic that's brought to our life through puppetry.
And that's the goal of the track is mm-hmm. it's my firm belief that every geek is a fan of puppetry. They just don't know it.
Yeah.
And the goal of the track is to take that veil away and be like, look, man, you love all of this stuff. And this stuff exists because of puppetry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before CG, all those movies that blew your mind when you were a kid, The NeverEnding Story and Star Wars and all that stuff, the only way to do that stuff back then was with puppets. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the chance to see those people who are responsible for all those amazing memories, from your childhood.
Right.
And that's what I want to do. That's the goal of the track is to get you a chance to meet those people and to experience what it's like to see a puppet in person and to put to just exactly like you did, connect the dots between those amazing childhood things that you loved and the fact that, wow, there was somebody actually puppeteering on that. And that's how it was done. And holy crap, that's amazing.
Yeah. All right, so let me ask you the closing question here, which is, since this is your first time here, I'll ask you the original one. All the other folks that have been on a couple of times, we've asked a variation of this. But if you could have three guests, living, dead, they would obviously be alive here, but not zombies, because Lee would want me to mention that they can't be zombies. They could even be fictional if you want. Who would you like to have as your three guests at Dragon Con that, you know, it's not, no, there's no limits to it?
Realistically, my dream guest as a director, I would love to have Frank Oz.
Oh.
Now, he's really, you know, distanced himself from a lot of the Muppet stuff. There's also a lot of really other amazing things that he's done that isn't Muppet related that I think that we could maybe say, like, hey, look, we don't just want you because you're Fozzie. You know, like, he directed Little Shop of Horrors, which is freaking amazing. And I want to do, I would do a whole thing just on Little Shop of Horrors, a whole panel just on Little Shop. So Frank Oz would be a dream guest. Brian Henson, which is Jim's son, who, you know, produced Farscape, and was, you know, just played a ton of characters in most of the Henson movies, like Dark Crystal and, Labyrinth and things like that. I would love to have Brian, because there's just he's one of those guests that there's just a million amazing things that he was a part of, that, you know, that are, you know, worth just amazing geek things that people would be like, Oh, he did that. Oh my God, he did that too. Mm-hmm. You know? And then obviously, you know, Jim, you know, for an, you know, a unrealistic, choice, then, you know, obviously Jim would be, you know, the gold ring.
Right. Yeah. Of everybody that you would, of everybody that you'd want on a puppetry track, he would be the.
Now, I mean, there are also other guests who aren't names per se that are people I respect within the puppetry community, like Philip Huber. You know, Philip Huber taught me how to do marionettes, and he did the marionette work for Being John Malkovich, and he was, you know, he did the marionette work for Oz the Great and Powerful. So, you know, he's one of those puppet industry people that I could still sell as a guest to Dragon Con, because they're like, oh, I've heard of those movies, you know. But if I said, you know, there are a bunch of, you know, puppeteers, you know, that I could mention that no one's ever heard of. Like, I could say Jim Rose, and no one's going to know who Jim Rose is. Or I could say, you know, a handful, you know, of other amazing puppeteers that Dragon Con's going to be like, who? you know, but yeah, so I would say that those would be my three picks. But I would love to get Philip someday, because he's just mind-blowing. Like, I've seen him do a marionette cabaret piece that's like 6-7 minutes long, that every single person in the house just stands up and loses their mind when it's over. Cause you just look at what he's done and you can't even believe it. And he's just one guy on stage with one puppet, and you can see everything that he does. He's not hiding behind anything. You know, he has, don't get me started.
you know, and I want to go back to Frank Oz real quick. Cause he directed two films that I think that are always, underrated. Actually, there's actually, I was just looking at his list, that are always underrated for a lot of people, which is Bowfinger and Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Those are two films.
Yeah. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels is unbelievably funny.
Yeah, I will, if it's on, I'm watching it. If it comes on, you know, wherever. And there's also What About Bob, which I actually completely forgot that he had directed. It's not, I don't think it's an incredibly strong film.
It's no Dirty Rotten Scoundrels,
but it's something that you can watch in the on a Saturday afternoon when it just comes on TV. But yeah, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels I love, and Bowfinger I actually love a lot too. I think that it's there's some of Eddie Murphy's best work is actually in that film. Unfortunately, we don't know where Eddie went since then. But anyway. I obviously digress, but thank you, Bo, for being on. This has been a pleasure. We went longer than we normally do, but we got sidetracked by He-Man, which is always fun. And
I can talk about He-Man all day.
And you have a huge amount of knowledge, and I do appreciate all the work, and everyone does, appreciates all the work that you guys put in for from the director's standpoint. It's a lot of work, and I hope that everything works out really well for you this year. Again, where can people find all the stuff you're involved in out on the interwebs?
Well, that's not a short list. If you're local to Atlanta, please come see the Puck and Puppet Show, Atlanta's Puppet Slam. Our next show is going to be in October. It's going to be a big, crazy Halloween extravaganza. Please watch the Sci-Fi Janitors on YouTube. Please subscribe. That's the best thing in the world you can do, is please be a subscriber. And get us, you know, the more people we have subscribing, the more people, you know, the more we get paid when people watch our videos. So hooray. You know, all those dozens of cents that we earn on YouTube. If you are local to Atlanta, please come see the National Puppet Slam at the Center for Puppetry Arts, or just come to the Center for Puppetry Arts anyway, because we have lots of really amazing shows, lots of really great guest artists. Please come do that. Follow the Needless Things blog and listen to the podcast with me and Phantom. We talk about all sorts of really awesome geek stuff. And come to the Dragon Con and love puppets, because puppets are awesome.
All right, folks. Thank you once again, Bo. And until next time, for Bo, this is John saying peace.
Good journey.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.